In the name of Jesus, amen. Good Friday in November. Most people would rather just skip right over Good Friday and go to Easter Sunday. Let's face the facts. The world despises the cross. We are more and more becoming a society of nuns. Did you know, in a recent study, today 25%, one quarter of Americans claim no formal religious affiliation, making this the largest religious group in the United States. In England and Wales, people of no religion have for the first time outnumbered Christians. The prophet Malachi spoke, "Before the end, faith appears to be more and more a waste of time and energy. It is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts?" Their lives seem to be trouble-free. They prosper in everything they do. Malachi says the world calls those who are arrogant blessed. And evildoers not only seem to prosper, they seem to test God and get away with it. Do you ever wonder, sometimes, whether it's all a waste of time? All this agonizing over God, over church, over spiritual things, when the world seems to be clicking away quite nicely. Sometimes it feels like Linus waiting for the great pumpkin in the pumpkin patch. All this talk of end times and Jesus' return. But Malachi says there will be a day when you will see with your own eyes what God sees. When the distinction between the righteous and the wicked will be made clear. It will be obvious who serves God and who does not. It will be clear on that day, but not one day sooner. Jesus' crucifixion and his encounter with two criminals in the gospel on this Christ the King Sunday. It's an unusual place to have a discussion about Jesus being a king. You see, the crucifixion is the heart of who our King is. The crucifixion is the center of the Christian faith. If there's no crucifixion, there's no death. If there's no death, there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope. And our faith is in vain. And we are to be pitied. As the end times go from worse to worse, yet amid all of it, Jesus is there praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's not only the prayer for those who crucified him and cast lots for his clothing, but the prayer for all of humanity in its collective insanity. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's his prayer for you and me living in these end times. You see, we deserve nothing but God's wrath. The wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God. When we look at that closely today, look at ourselves truthfully, at who we really are. Today is a day to confess our sins. Look to the cross, to Jesus who died for each and every one of us. Jesus is the King of sinners. And he came to take the sins of everybody. Jesus is the King of all people. He is the fulfillment of all Scripture. God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, I will send one who will crush the serpent's head. That's Satan. To Abraham was promised that he would be the father of a great nation. But one of your descendants would be a blessing to all people. That's the Messiah. Moses in Deuteronomy said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must listen to him. The whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament pointed to the perfect sacrifice of the sinless Son of God. John the Baptist, the great prophet, announced at the Jordan, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the center of all of Scripture. B.C. and A.D., even secular history gives testimony to that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The question, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. That almost sounds like faith, doesn't it? He seems to believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he wants Jesus to save him as he saves himself. But that's precisely not how Jesus saves. He saves others by not saving himself. He saves sinners by dying for them. This one did not want forgiveness. He wanted to be excused, and he had every excuse. There is no excuse for sin. There is only Jesus' forgiveness. Jesus did not rain down eternal damnation on his mockers. We want him to wrench his hands free from the cross and from those nails and to pick up the soldier's hammer and, like some first century Thor, start whacking those who mocked him to a bloody pulp. Instead, he is the one bloody. Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. That phrase can be rendered, this man has done nothing out of place. But the sinless one has taken the lowest place, our place, even death on a cross. This man dies as one who has done everything wrong, forsaken by God, condemned, persecuted, mocked, ridiculed, damned. He gets what we deserve so that in the end, we get what he deserves. And then comes the prayer of faith. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is how faith prays. He asks for nothing but to be remembered by Jesus. He doesn't ask to be saved from the cross, to be spared of his suffering, to be granted a last-minute pardon, as the other one did. When death is unavoidable, faith prays. Remember me, Jesus. He who dies with these words on their lips dies well. This is the only time in the Gospels that a man or a woman, when talking to the Lord, calls upon him using his first name alone, Jesus. The other times, it's Lord, Master, Teacher, Sir, but on the cross, it's Jesus. Jesus literally means God saves. There on the cross, God saved this repentant man. The repentant man's prayer was answered. We hear the comforting words today from the Lord. You will be with me in paradise. His transformation to glory would be immediate. He is the King of heaven. Yes, it is Good Friday in November. We won't skip over it, for we preach Christ crucified. Baptism, it is written, as many as have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, so that as Christ is risen from the dead, we too may walk in newness of life. Of Holy Communion, it is written, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His resurrection is your seal for eternity. He told grieving Martha and us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. At the time of your death, what really matters? Faith in Christ. He who was crucified and died and rose will see you and me through that door. Christ the King is alive. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come and return so that you will be where I am. That's God's promise to you today. You will be with him in glory. So that begs the question, are you ready? That's what we're doing today. Looking to the future. The future is in the Lord's hands. Live in peace. You are in the hands of a loving God who takes care of you. Celebrate Christ the King Sunday. He is the King of sinners. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of you and me. He saves the world from sin and prepares a mansion to live with him for all eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen.